Start your day the Torah, Rabbi Baruch Duna.
Ready?
Yeah.
First, the shears, the Ili Nishmas of Imam Marasi, Yitabas of Zev, whose Yotzad is tonight. I was asked first to say a few, one or two things on the Parsha, and then something about Yom Kippur. So we'll see, time is very short, we'll try and see what we can fit in the short time. It's a wonderful Sedra. Hazinu is a very special Sedra. It's the Shira of Moshe Rabbeinu before his Nifta, and he gives many messages here, and perhaps the messages are in a very hinting way, not very clear. And the Mepharshim tried to get along and bring something to the Maisa, what we take with, from Moshe Rabbeinu in his messages just before his Nifta. And when the first Pasuk starts off, you all know the Pasuk, Yarev Kamota Liki Tizal Katal Imrosi, which means the Torah, it's words to Torah, which drops like rain and it flows like dew. What's the comparison of the Torah to rain, dew? What does Moshe Rabbeinu want to tell them? That's all the pasuk, and I've got to understand everything else myself. So I saw a nice pshat, for many pshatim, but I had a nice pshat. We all know, you've all been out in the countryside, the farmers are very dependent on rain, very, very dependent on rain. If they want hatzlocha in what they do, they need rain. What's the rain tells us, but there's two messages in this rain. What's a farmer want with the rain? Why does he need the rain? He knows he can't harvest anything. It's impossible to have any produce, any good produce, unless it rains. But he knows one thing. When it rains, he's not going to see an instant success. He's not going to see something, instant results. It takes time. It takes a long time. As we say, Zorea Tzedokah, it's Zorea and Aftermath Smiach, which happens much later. There's nothing instant. It takes a long time. And he knows, the farmer knows very well, if he, after it's raining and the seeds are in the ground, he knows one thing. If I were to dig now and have a look at the ground, what's going there, he perhaps holds his nose, he perhaps looks horrible, it's rotting, and all that. What's all this? This is what my beautiful apples or whatever, beautiful vegetables are going to come out. It's horrible. But he knows he's very optimistic. He knows at the end of the tunnel that something beautiful is going to come out. Perhaps not now, but a time later, there's something there. And he's patient to go and to see and wait to see the beautiful produce which is going to come out, which he'll send to the shop and have it home for himself to go and eat. And there's a second point which the farmer knows with the rain. Before I come to the second point, I saw in the Sefer called Shifas, what's that got to do with Torah? Torah, we see also the same thing. There's no such thing as instant Hatzlacha. There's no such thing, I go there, sit at a shir, and I'm ready to tam, it's going to go. No such thing, a boy goes to school, automatically he's going to be successful. We have to know very well that it's not easy, it takes time, it may be rotting, it may be a hard time, maybe a hard time with the teacher, maybe sometimes the boy misbehaves. Doesn't mean this boy misbehaves, it's not successful in school. That's a write-off, it's finished. I wasn't about to sleep with my children. Not true. Patience. Yarev Torah is not like mathematics. Torah is something which takes time, and after the time, well, let's be optimistic. Perhaps there may be rotting in between, maybe difficult times in between. At the end, we should know there's going to be a beautiful produce. I saw the Sefer called Shifas, lovely, perhaps you know the he brings it out this way. He says there was a grandfather who always had a visit from his grandson. And the grandson, when he used to come, he liked the interesting things that his grandfather did. grandfather was quite an interesting kind of fellow. One day he comes into his grandfather's house, and he sees his father, his grandfather got something along, and he asks, Grandpa, what is this? And the grandfather tells him, it's a cocoon. A cocoon? What's a cocoon? Tells him, from a caterpillar, from a cocoon, caterpillar. Looks like a place, a long pea, I don't know what it looks like. A pea pod, what is it? So, he said, if you're patient, you'll see. After some time, it's going to come out from here a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. Butterfly? I know butterfly, beautiful, all the colours it's going to have, it's going to be beautiful. So he says, Grandpa, can I have it? You can have it, you can have it. But I want to tell you, if you want to have this success, this cocoon, I want to tell you what to go and do. And you know, you all know this, the thing, and it takes the cocoon, but I want to tell you, if you want to success, you have to be patient. This cocoon takes time, you put it in, it takes a few days, and you'll see slowly, slowly a little crack. And in the crack, you'll see slowly, slowly, perhaps a little bit of something coming out, a bit of a wing coming out. What I want to warn you, don't touch it. Don't move it. Don't do anything to it. Don't help it. Why? That's how it is, Master Zo. Grandpa, I'll listen to you. I'll do exactly what you said. I'll go along. And he takes it home. And of course, he wants to tell all his friends in the school, but my God, I've got a coon. Out this is going to come this beautiful butterfly. No one wants to see this. Bria was a nice thing. And anyway, after a few days, he comes down in the morning, he sees there a little crack. And he's a simple rabbi, he's dancing. And he tells the mummy, there's a crack or anything. And a few hours later, he comes home from school, and he sees there, wow, there's a new wing coming out. And a day later, he sees the crack's even bigger. And then after, slowly, he sees slowly emerging from this cocoon, comes out this a butterfly. But the butterfly is still stuck inside, and it's got sour. It's in pain. It's trying to get out, and it's not working. But remember, Grandpa said, don't touch it, don't help. And he comes and he listens to Grandpa. But the last minute he sees the his mum is struggling and it's pulling and trying to fly and the cocoon's coming with. And it's escaping this. So what he does is the crack is almost there. And he goes, along and out flies a butterfly. A butterfly flies up and he comes down and lands on the ground and dies. Nebuch goes runs to Grandpa and says, Grandpa, I listened to you. What do you do? I did everything that Grandpa said. Just tell me, what was the... I left it for days and days and saw it coming out. It cracked and it came out slowly. What do you do at the end? Right at the end, the tip end, all I did was I helped the last bit. It was struggling, it was going hard. And what? And I just... you lost it. The butterfly needs to strengthen its wings. It needs that hardship in order to go along. But by going along and banging against the cocoon, backwards and forwards, in order to be successful, it's got strong wings to go along and fly. You've lost it. Says the Shifa, the Sefer, the same thing was Torah. Yav kamota liki. Says Moshe Rabbeinu. You want that sloch with your children. You want that sloch in your learning. It's got to go. It doesn't go. Don't go along and start doing and think instantly. It's going to be easy. You have to know it goes through. The more difficult you go through, the more hardship you go through, the more stronger you make yourself. And basically, it's the amola, the thing and the difficulty that helps it in the Torah. Don't give up when you see things go hard. Sometimes learning, I go daf, I go here, I go there. It's skate-nished. Forget, everybody who wants to go do another chazorah and try again, and then you have such a slocher. The more money you have, the more slocher you're going to have, the more you'll be able to fly in life. That's the first message. And the second message, I saw Yav Kamotel Kaliki, Torah, why is Torah compared to rain? We know very well, ground, in order for seed to go long and work well, it's got to go along. The ground has to be prepared. It's got to be fertile. Fertile ground, nicely prepared. That's the way it goes. If it's not properly prepared, then it won't... So the same thing over here. I need to prepare for Torah doesn't just go, it doesn't go into anybody, it doesn't go into anything. Like the ground has to be, for the seeds to work, it's got to have a fertile, nice, prepared ground. It's got to be ploughed, it's got to be sown, it's got to be a lot of preparation, got to be pruned, everything got to be done to, in order to help to go along and produce later these seeds. So also, Torah doesn't go into anybody's thing. It's got to be a prepared body. It does not go into anybody. It's got to be a person. It's got to be a receptacle. It's got to be a keli, a kubel, which go along and takes it in. Otherwise, it just won't work. I heard once from the Master Shiva, he wanted to prove this point. He was talking about years ago, and he wants to prove the point, as he needs, Torah doesn't go, Torah's got to go together with Midas. It needs preparation of Midas. If you haven't got Midas, you'll not be successful in Torah. And we see it all over. I don't want to give examples, but many people who perhaps could learn well, or but meant nothing at all. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva said, one of our greatest gedolei we had, I'm sure you heard of the name many times, before the war, one of the greatest Ashivas, one of the greatest Amdonim, was Reb Bochber of Kamenitz. Perhaps you have it so much here, more of the Chofetz Chaim, here more of Reb Chon. Reb Bochber was the Talmud of Reb Chaim, and he was a genius. He was and his Talmidim were geshvoyer the Talmidim to him. He had many Talmidim. So Rashiva said a Maisa, and the Rashiva said, I'm nispol from this Maisa, because this Maisa tells me, to answer me, who Reb Bochber was. Reb Bochber, when he was getting older, he got a call from one of his Talmidim, I want a smicha. Give me smicha. He was a Talmud of his, he was married, I need smicha. And he said, good, come along. Anyway, this Talmud came, had to travel quite a way, and he came to get smicha. When he arrived, the Reb Bochber said to him, I'm not feeling up to it. I'm feeling schwach. I'm feeling weak. I can't give you smicha. Do me a favor. I feel bad, but I can't give you smicha. The Talmud, he was married, thing, and he said, that's it, was a couple. You'll have to come back another time. He had to travel quite far to come to those times. It wasn't easy to travel. Okay, listen, Reb Bochber can't manage. He went home. After the younger man left, Reb Bochber sat in his room, very upset. Very upset. His wife came in and said to Reb Bochber, what are you upset about? He said, had to go along and send this younger man back. He came all the way and sent him back. Reb Bochber, but you told him you're not too feeling schwach. You don't feel bad about what you feel bad. You told him you feel weak. And you understand? You come back another time. No, I'm not upset about that. He's going home now, and he's coming to his wife. His wife's going to open the door, and the first second she's going to ask, "Nu, got smicha?" No. Before he got a chance to explain why he didn't get smicha, that second, I'm called Akzefsh the lady. Said Reb Bochber, how can I go along and call somebody else Akzefsh? Said Reb Shiva at the time, said, you see, why was he great in Reb Bochber? Reb Bochber was so great, he felt the midas he had was so ingrained in him. That's how he's looking at the Torah. Yarev kamot gegeki, and be'emes, I just felt one of the greatest tannaim we had. Who was one of the greatest tannaim we had? It was Rabbi Akiva. If you look at Rabbi Akiva himself, look at his life. Two things I written about Rabbi Akiva. Two nekudas. Till 40 years old, he couldn't read aleph beis. Chazal said they couldn't read aleph beis. None of us could learn. He couldn't read aleph beis till 40 years old. At 40 years old, came this rochel and came along and saw this shepherd who was in the field with sheep with nothing else, and who was the daughter of the millionaire of the time, one of the greatest tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, and he said, "I want to marry him." And the Gemara said, Gemara asks in Ksubas and Dorim, the Gemara asks, "Why should you marry this such amoretz?" And the Gemara says, "What should you find?" He was tzrua Umbala. Says the Bashar, what's with there? He's got beautiful midas. He's got the potential. He's got the ground, the fertile ground. Somebody got fertile ground, he can become something. He's got the clay kibble to go long and be a bit. He's a kind of boy, but wasn't enough. Says about Rabbi Akiva himself. How did Rabbi Akiva himself come along to go along and become the Torah? Says he was once going in the field. He was with the sheep and he was sitting on a rock and he saw the water dropping, drop by drop by drop. And he said, "Ah, it's never too late. How did this? There's a hole in the rock over here. How did the hole come along?" And he made a kal v'chomer, if already little drops which are soft, soft raindrops, eventually has to go along as a spa on hard rock. Kal v'chomer, teir, which is a kabazel, eventually, although I'm 40 years old, I'll be able to become something great. Rabbi Akiva had these two things. At 24 years later, he became this great Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest Tanoim, and he only started 40 years old. He had the two midas of things, Yav, Kamota, and Liki, Tizal, Katal, Sibrosi. So Moshe Rabbeinu's first message is beautiful. It's telling us, you want to go along, Chakal Yisrael, I'm leaving you alone. You want success in Torah, take those two things. Just these two points. To go along and stand. It's not instant. It goes through hardships. It goes through to rot. Maybe difficulties. And the second is, but you have to have the bitters. And you have those two things together, you'll be successful in Torah. That's the first message over here. I don't know what to do next. I've got more on to say, but I want to say one thing on Yom Kippur. I've got something beautiful on Knesset, but I'd have to leave it. So just on Yom Kippur, something beautiful. I say it's a deep shot. I'll just introduce it with a little story. There was a town in Poland that had a balagola. A balagola means a wagon driver. For years and years he was a wagon driver, he was doing a fantastic job. He was getting older, and he didn't do his job anymore very, very well. He's getting older, he wasn't so reliable anymore, and he didn't help so much with the peklach. And so the town came together and made a meeting, and decided we have to get a new balagola, a new wagon driver. And, Baruch Hashem, they found a young lad who's energetic, strong, and he's got go in him, and he understands, and he's going to become the taxi driver, the wagon driver for the town. The old balagola, who's a loyal, worked for years and years, loyalty, he was very upset. I've done all these years and things, just getting a new one, and these new things. So what? I'm a bit slow. Anyway, he was insulted, very insulted. At the end, he said, "Listen, I'll gracefully give up my job. But one thing, I want to interview and test the new balagola. He's going to come for hair. The MOT, a is going to come in. He comes in. Comes to his house and he tests him, asks him a list of questions, and he tells him if you don't answer all my questions, you failed your test, you failed everything. Good. Comes in and he asks him very many questions. The last question he asks him: "Just tell me, what would you do in case you're going through a forest and your wagon gets stuck in the mud? What would you do?" Easy question. He comes to easy questions. What would we do? I would get out, and with the help of the horses, push out the thing. What's the shaila? What happens if the horses and you can't manage? Simple. I'll ask all the passengers to come out, they should help. Simple. What happens if they can't do it? So he says, simple. I'll go and I'll take all the peklach out, everything out, it's light, and then of course we'll go. What happens if you take the peklach out, and if they get eichrisht, what do we do now? That's a good question. Couldn't answer. Failed. Lost the job. So the wagon driver, the new wagon driver, versus the terrace. Well, what would you do? What would you do? Posh it. I'll make sure I'll never go back in the mud again. I'll never go in the mud. I'll make sure that before I come to the mud, I make a U-turn. I see mud. And I know the mud. Perhaps I've experienced it once. But I'll make sure I'll make a U-turn. I know from you know, the holidays, I've got a navigator. We've got navigators. I use it on the holidays. You know, go in the countryside. I get lost very quickly, by the way. I have a schmuzzle. But one thing I've got a helper. I've got a bus coil all the time in my car. It tells me, please make a U-turn. So I know, I make a U-turn, back up, I'm back on track again. We are now for Yom Kippur. The Rebbeinu showed me everything. That is, we've got the mud in front of us. We've got a lot of mud in our lives. We've got a lot of difficulties. What does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam want of us? Make a U-turn. Don't get the mud, go make a U-turn, don't go wrong. Listen to the navigator, the bus coil, and understand that to go wrong, we go the right way. That is what our job is now. So I'm going to, what I want to come in on to is, what kind of U-turn do? What are we supposed to do? What kind of tshuva? We talked tshuva. Last year I spoke about tshuva, we all spoke about tshuva. Years ago we spoke about tshuva. What's going to do? I saw over here a nice pshat. I saw from the Nesivus. Bala Nesivus, a Meredith Pshat. If she know it, I'm sure Mr. Rosenbaum, you'll shock your head, you say. You think, yeah, it's a nice Pshat, I think. Good Pshat. We're going to all go in here, we're going to have Kol Nidrei in a few days' time, Kol Nidrei. I heard once from one of the police told me here, a local police told me, you know, the heaviest traffic in Broughton Park is your Yom Kippur night. He said, Yom Kippur, when everybody's going by cars, and people are walking and streaming from all walks, all sides, all corners, it's the heaviest traffic in the thing. And you come to shul, you come there. I just remember in my old shul, when I came into the Hadas, you couldn't hear a pin drop. My father didn't have to say a word, be quiet. It's the world doesn't say a word. It's nobody's talking. The awe, the seriousness, the scare, the thing. And what we were scared about, if you ask me, what should we start off with? I want to start off the night a bit straight away with tshuva, al chetz, al shamanu. We start talking about some a vow that I made, some bond I made in the middle of the year, and think, what? And everything's quiet, and everything's very thin, and that's the pinnacle, one of the most pinnacle parts, besides the Ila, one of those serious parts, when people are crying out in the Kilnu. What are you crying about? What's all about? So the Welt says, pshat, the norm pshat is, ganz poshut, that you're going to make promises to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Well, you're about now to make your promises for next year. I'm going to be this next year, and I'm going to be that next year. I'm going to promise this. Hashem says, I know your promises. It means nothing at all. You made a promise all the time. Don't keep your word. So go along. So we say Kol Nidrei in order to go along and to show Hashem a word is a word. That's the norm shot. So I saw that the Seder says, and helps us much more. He says, the Rambam says that there are three components in tshuva. You all know that. You all learn the Rambam, tshuva, look at parent base. There are three components in tshuva. I'll go just quickly, aziv zachet, I won't go into it now, and charata, and kabbalah lasit. The main ones are the Rambam says, I accept them myself, I'm going to change, I'm going to make kabbalah lasit. Says the Rambam, we all make kabbalahs. I want to see your Kabbalah. What's your Kabbalah? I'm going to, says the Rambam. The Rambam adds the word. Made olav, what's called Kabbalah? The made olav yodeh to Lewis, the Akash Baruch Hu is going to be testify, he's going to testify that you will never come back to that sin again. Yeah? You'll never come back. So in order for Akash Baruch Hu to read your mind and read who you are, you'll never, never come back to that sin. So what happens if after Yom Kippur I do come back to sin? I've lost my tshuva. Most of us are not got tshuva at all. As I find the Nesivus is a very strong, powerful, frightening question. So we haven't got tshuva at all. Where's my tshuva? So when the Gemara says in Kedusha, the Gemara says, Avera gereres avera. Before we do the first time of sin, we think twice. Before I do a personal sin, I think twice. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Nah, sin. The Torah says you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't. What happens if you've done it once? Says Gemara, it's very easy the next time. If done three times, Gemara, nas the ketzer. It's a mitzvah she, even says Gemara. I'll give an example. I speak to myself. I don't speak to the audience, all. But, you know, it comes very often, you have to fill in forms. Tax form. Declare. First time. Be very careful. Yes, I've got earnings of this and that. After many years, you know, we just fill in, you know, the tax form gets filled in, and we ignore certain things, and we don't even butter eyelid anymore. Not talking about the Lashon Hara. Sometimes, you know, you buy things. I've been buying this all night. The Lashon is probably okay. Beginning, I wasn't sure, but that's probably okay. As we go through, we come, and what Chazal called it, we're stuck in a chain. It's in a rut. It's in a habit. You can't get out of it anymore. It's going to be very hard to get out. Good example. Example. I heard once from, I don't know if I heard of who I've heard from Zil Talpa, somebody heard this thing. You know, you want to catch monkeys. Have you tried to catch monkeys? You can't catch monkeys. Monkeys are something so agile and so, they run, it's so up trees, you can't catch a monkey. How do you catch a monkey? Ever heard about it? And they want to go along and sell them, and sell them to all the zoos all around the world. In Africa, they're the ones who supply the world with all the monkeys, and they're going to supply all the safaris. And how they catch the monkeys? They go along and take coconuts, and they make a hole in the top of the coconuts. They cut a little slit, and they stuff the coconut with hot rice. Monkeys in love, the delicacy, the beautiful, their cholent for them is hot rice. They love it. Ask me why? That's why. They love rice, and they're very, very sensitive to smell. They can be far away, and they can smell from far. I've seen this also in a book rather. You see, they're very sensitive to. They're on top of the trees. I put down my coconuts. Go down, and they come down, and there's a little slit where these people put in the rice, and they put the hands in. They come down to grab hold of the rice, and they grab hold of the rice, and they go along and they try and get the hand out. Of the hand is too thick, it's too big, it's too fat, it's getting dished, and they're going backwards and forwards until they start to bleed. In the court. You said this morning in Davening, every one of you said this morning, Al Tvienu Loili Dechet. Fate Rebellion Lapion Loili Dechet. Loili Dechet! What a Dechet! So Fate Rebellion. So Fate Rebellion Zetal, I heard of him. Pshatel Dechet means? No. Sometimes I've got a chet. One off is a chet. But sometimes we're in a habit, we're stuck, we've got it done many times. It's a very good severe, I've got it. I'm stuck, my hand is stuck, it's tied. I'm tied on that chet, on that rice. Agish Baruch Hu, alright, a chet, I shouldn't be this way in a habit, I shouldn't keep doing it, and I don't realize that I can ask the chet. That's very hard to go get out. Says the deceiver, something the deceiver says, we have to go along and break away. Akash Baruch Hu wants from us. It's a deep pshat. But the Baruch Hu wants of us is to get out of the habit, to start something new. That I'm not doing Aveda because of did it yesterday. I'm really going to change my mind. I don't want to continue that style of life. I must be honest with you, I shouldn't mention, I don't know who it is, what it is. I had a envelope this morning in my post. Not my post, through the letterbox. I don't know who it is, I'm not looking at anybody, I don't know. And the letter was, I've got a letter here, to Rabbi Duna. I just want to say I came to your shiur last year, and I want to say you've made change my life. You spoke about last year, you said a moment ago, and you said something. And I mean, don't look around at anybody else. I don't know if the person's here. It could be somebody listening on the phone. I don't know who it was. And I said something. I spoke about had to have a mice about checking out phones, a kind of mice. And I said it's a skula to go along and for shidduchim. I had at home, I wasn't sure what it should be, you know, I had a very old girl, and I couldn't find a shidduch, and I listened to you, and I made a change in my life. And within a few weeks, my daughter became kala. Wherever it is, I don't know who it is, Mantov, the fellow, who it is, anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam over here, that I'm doing something, I'm making a change in my life, a serious undertaking, I'll not do it again. I won't do it again. If the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that I'm taking undertaking, I'm sitting in Shul Yom Kippur. And what is tshuva? Tshuva is the U-turn. I'm going to go along and change from my derech that I had till now, and I really mean it seriously. Even if I fall in for it after Yom Kippur. So if they deceive us, doesn't matter. It's something new. It's not a chain work. It's not the day I hate. I'm now back to the first thing. May I take a service. And may I take help us. If we really sit down in Kippur, and I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't want that style. I'm doing something, and I really mean seriously. When I perhaps fall in for it, I become where the kabbalah is, and I become myself something, that I'm going to do something, I'm meeting something new, and after that, if I fall in for it, something new. So I must finish off. So I'm going to go. There's a mitzvah brought down Shechonot about going to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. What's the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur? Why? You may say poshut. What's mikvah all about? What's mikvah all about? How do we come to you? Go into, dip into water underneath, yeah? The guy goes, ask you, go and dip and come out, yeah? Or all your veils go, what's going on here? So I'm learning the Gezach. When the Bria was made, the beginning of Bria was full of water. Full of water. The whole, everything's water. From that water emerged a new person, Adam Rishon, was new. When we go into the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, I want to be new. I don't want the old habits away. Our first question. What is Kol Nidre so much all about? What's Kol Nidre? What would you say, a big fast Kol Nidre? Our bonds should not be our bonds. Take us out of the bonds, our old bonds, the bonds that we bound to our veras. Get rid of them. We want to be something new. I don't want old habits anymore. I want to do something new in life. That's a Moedik. And let's finish off. I must go. I've got to give another shiur now. Moedik is what?
We've got time.
You've got time? I think, I'm due already. Moedik is ach. I was on holiday. I always speak my holiday thing. On the last day of my holiday, I was staying in a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Shropshire, everything with my family, and the farmer was very obviously a gefaltig man. He owned farms and cows and herds and everything. He lived like a pauper, but he was a lovely fellow. Edward. Last day, Edward comes into, I was leaving my family, you know, with all the kitchen sinks, going home again, and they were packing the car. Edward comes along and says, Rabbi, I hope to see you next year again. You will come back to us, something like that. Listen, I said, I've been to you twice already, after another. I'll see if perhaps the children want to change. Anyway, so I said to Edward, before we said bye-bye, I said, Edward, you look very unhappy. Look sad. So he said, how do you know? I can read your face. Your faces? I said, I can read your face. You look sad. You're not happy. So he said, well, which way? It's true. I'm very sad. I'm very happy. Unhappy today. Why? So he said, I've got many fields. You know that. You've been in. You've seen my combines. You've seen everything. You went with the kids on the combines. You've seen all that. Today is the last day that I can't go along. It's raining outside. It's my last chance to go along and Skegat. If I don't, if I can't use the combine today and finish off the fields, I've lost for the income for the whole year. I said, thank you very much. I think he gave me his arm, Musa Drosha, this Edward. He's my biggest man, Musa. We're studying Erev Kippur. We got the last chance. We've had 10 days, things. We had all the Yav, Kamata, everything we had, all the rainbow thing. The last chance to chew us now. We have to remember, if we don't happen now, who knows? We saw last year what's happening. We know what we're going through. It's our last chance to for a good year. Let us use it and use it for Tefillah. And Baruch help us to have a Gmach Chasim Toiva and Gesund Bench to you. Amen. Amen.